Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Well, it's an interesting one to get my head round what to preach this morning. I'm sure it's common knowledge now that in a few weeks' time, myself and the Budby family are going to be moving on, and Faye's going to be taking on the leadership of the church here, and she's going to do a great job. You know, it's great that she's not here this morning, because I just want to say that Faye is going to do an amazing job. She's an anointed woman. She's a strong woman of God who is going to lead this church where it needs to go in this next season. She is equipped with everything. And my heart is that the church gets behind whatever it is God's leading her to do. As at the moment when I hand that leadership of this place over to her, love her, get behind her, strengthen her, support her, pray for her, even do that now. But as she's leading, you know, there's a different pressure that comes on someone wants to take on that senior leadership mantle of a place. It's something that you can only ever experience once you do it. And, you know, you can imagine or you can read books or you can listen to people, but you never truly know it until it lands on you. And, you know, I'm praying for Faye a lot at the moment because I knew what it was like when Pastor Lynn handed the mantle on to me. And no matter how much I tried to prepare myself, nothing prepared me for that. So do pray for Faye and for Steve and for Ty, because they're going to need the support. They know their God and they know the one who is strengthening them. But I just want to make that be very clear that this is a positive thing, that God is directing the church and leading the church into a great season. For me personally, you know, Jesus, I had an amazing, vivid vision of Jesus that he appeared to me personally and gave some really clear direction. It wasn't just one of those, is it me? Is it God? Am I just thinking that? Is that just a prayer? He made it really clear. So I know that we're safe in his hands. I'm safe in his hands. As a family, we're safe in his hands. As a family, as a church, we're safe in his hands. So let's not be getting too upset about it. I know it's upset, you know. Not, you know, as Gandalf says, I will not say, do not cry, because not all tears are evil. But I've been drawing a lot of analogies from Lord of the Rings, as you probably saw from the end of the letter that went out. But, you know, it's not, you know, but God is always in control. He knows what's happening, and he's going to be moving things forward because his kingdom continues to advance. And so this morning it was, okay, what do I preach this morning? What do I bring this morning, God? What am I supposed to say this morning? And in the midst of change, in the midst of not just change for us as a church, but in the midst of change as a nation, change that's going on politically, change that's just constantly happening, you know, change is always happening. And I think we always think we've got to the point where there really can't be much more change, but then everything changes again. You know, you just think you've got your grip to grips with your latest Apple software update, and then all of a sudden there's a new one. And it changes again. You literally cannot keep up with what's happening because everything is constantly changing. You just start to get used to one political party and their manifesto and what they're going to do and how they're going to lead the country. And then they're voted out or their leader steps down and someone else comes in. And it's like, okay, now we've got to get used to what they're going to do. And we've got to get used to how they're going to work in schools. And now this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So it's constantly shifting and moving. It really is shifting sand all the time in the world that we live in. The life that we live is a life of shifting sand where things are changing all the time. And I don't know if it's just me or if it's just the fact that we have more exposure to media now, but it seems like stuff changes rapidly even more now. Or maybe when I was a kid, I was a bit more naive and it was like, you never really noticed that things were changing. You changed your clothes and that was about as much as change went. But as we, you know, we recognize, we think, man, things are changing. Things are getting different for us as a church. Things are changing. Things are going to be moving forward in ways that we might not have always necessarily foreseen and we might not always necessarily have expected. You know, the way things are going might have come as a shock to some people, might have come as not a surprise to some people, but it certainly never became as a surprise to God because he has a plan and he has a purpose and he knows what's happening. And even in the midst of change, everything around us, he stays the same. That's encouraging, isn't it? I know it's basic. That is a basic principle of Christian faith to say, well, you know, God never changes. Yesterday, today, the same is always there, never changes. But so often we need to remind ourselves of that because when we're thrust into a world where change is happening all the time, we constantly need to remind ourselves that although this is happening, he remains the same. He doesn't change. His situation doesn't change. His principles don't change. His manifesto doesn't change. His outlook doesn't change. He stays strong and stable. to coin a phrase. Strong and stable. We heard a lot about that, didn't we, from Theresa May over the whole Brexit thing and all the different, the vote and all the stuff, you know. Strong and stable, strong and stable. And as I've constantly heard them saying that about being a strong and stable nation and a strong and stable political party. And as I kept hearing, I was thinking, there's only one who is truly strong and stable. It's well and good to be declaring these comments, which, you know, is great, and it brings a bit of hope and it brings a bit of stability in some ways. But I was thinking, only God's strong and stable. It doesn't matter how good a leader you are. It doesn't matter where we go, what we do. The only one who isn't going to change and is truly strong and stable is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who is immovable and doesn't shift and change. And apparently they're strong and stable. I found this quite funny. This might offend some people, but hey, whatever. Apparently Theresa May got the strong and stable idea from an erectile dysfunction leaflet. Apparently, an NHS leaflet, she saw strong and stable, and oh, there you go. I'm not sure how much truth was in that, but I did read that the other day when I was researching into this, and I was like, okay, we all draw inspiration from different areas. But but I just want to say that although I'm kind of talking about strong and stable and saying Jesus is strong and stable, just to put that out there, that I do honour Theresa May as our Prime Minister. I do honour the Conservative Party as our leading party of this nation, and I'm well aware of the fact that we need to honour our leaders, including our civil and civic leaders, which is our politicians. And we might not always agree with the way they do things, we might not always think it's right, but they're still God's appointed leadership over our nation at this time. She is still God's appointed leader at this time, whether we agree with that or not. But to make a declaration of strong and stable, there is only one who is strong and stable. In Matthew 7:24, let's get into some scripture. Says this, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Use that with the kids all the time, don't we? You know, the wise man built his house on the rock. One built on the sand, one built on the rock. You know, you've got to build your house on the rock. When you hear the word of God, when you do as he says, that's wisdom. And that is building our house on a strong and stable foundation. You know, there's a lot of stuff we can look at wisdom and think about, okay, I want to be wise, or this person's wise, or that person's wise. For me personally, wisdom, what I've found is true wisdom is I listen to what God says and I do what he says. And it's really as simple as that. If I choose not to do what he says, I'm lacking in wisdom. It's not a wise thing to do. But if God speaks or God comes to you and says, do this, you need to do what God says. That is true wisdom. That it doesn't get more wise than that. When you talk about having wise counsel and all the different things you can read or people you can speak to, when God speaks to you, that's a privilege. When God gives you direction, that's a privilege. And it's a wise thing to respond to it, because you know what I find really cool about when God does that? It actually makes you look really wise as well. You know, you look at something and think, wow, they're so wise. Look how wise they are. And you're like, look at all the stuff they're saying and the stuff they're coming out with. They're such a wise person. It's like, well, actually, they're just a vessel of wisdom, because the wisdom that comes from those people is the wisdom of God just coming through their life. The wisest people, truly wise people, not philosophers and people that don't follow Jesus, but truly wise people that we look at and admire as Jesus followers, are those people that listen to God and do as he says. And you look at Pastor Colin at Faith Camp and the stuff he's bringing and the stuff he's preaching, and you think, he's so wise. Yes, he's got years and years of experience, but he comes across as so wise because he just does what God says. The wisdom is God's wisdom working through the vessel of a man, which is amazing, isn't it? As Aaron Jane always says, that when he preaches, he stays as close to the word of God as possible because it makes him look better than he is. Well, that's brilliant. That's wisdom. Why do you need to do anything else when you've got it all there ready for you? So we want to build our house on the rock. And a foundation, as you probably know this, whether it's a normal building, whether it's Lego building. I was going to bring some Lego with me this morning, but I opted against it. Did anybody watch the Lego Masters on Thursday? Just a couple. A few people that have been infected by Lego. What's the matter with you people? It was basically like MasterChef, but it was for people building Lego. And I was getting quite prideful watching it, actually. And so I was like, what's the matter with you? Just enjoy watching. I was like, oh, I'm better than them. I could have done that. How did I not know that you could apply for this show? I could have gone on this show. I could have done that. And they're like, oh, that's rubbish. Can't believe they've done that. And it's like, this is annoying. Just just enjoy the show and watch it. Okay, I was like, that is pretty good. Yeah, so I'm going to keep my eye out, so you might see me on Lego Masters. You have to go in pairs, though, so I need a partner. So, Tony, keep practicing, mate. Yeah, so, but that building thing, and anybody will know about building, that a foundation of a house tells how big the house can get. If a foundation's small, the house is small. You can't put a big house on a small, faulty foundation because it'll collapse every single time. And you tend to find this, whether it's a normal building, I'd say with Lego, Mega Blocks, whatever. And kids tend to do this. If you watch kids building with building blocks, they haven't got that frame of mind to recognize that the bottom needs to be bigger than the top. So it kind of goes in a V shape rather than a triangle. And all of a sudden they get upset because it topples over. And it's like, it's going to topple over because you've got one brick at the bottom and 10 bricks at the top. It's not going to hold. And that whole foundation thing of building our house on a rock, on something strong and stable. But the same is true for our lives. You know, this morning I've mentioned, you know, that we've got changes that are happening, not just personally, not just in the church, but nationally. There's changes happening all the time, and our lives are encountering change all the time. And when we can't become what God wants us to be on a faulty foundation, if we start building on a faulty foundation, we will not get to be where God wants us to be. We will not be who God wants us to be. We're given a lot of different options of what we can build our foundations on. I'm going to go through a list, which is going to make the bulk of this morning's message, of the things that are thrown at us and come our way, which say, well, why don't you build your life on this? Because this could work. And really, as Jesus followers, we know there's only one thing that's ever going to work. But does that stop us sometimes building our life on something else? There's a question for you. I know I would answer that question, because I do find myself in situations where I can look back and think, you know what, I've gone a bit wrong here. I've started to build my life on something that's not Jesus, and I've started to build this particular situation on something that's not Jesus. It's not strong and stable. It's not a strong foundation. And I know it's not going to end well. And there's only one thing to do when something is built on something that doesn't work right, and that's to tear it down, redo the foundation, and start again. Because you can't even build a new building on a faulty foundation, can you? It's always going to be the same. The whole thing has to come out. And whatever that foundation might be, whatever the foundation is in your life that you might build upon, some of these might ring true with you. So first one, popular culture. We're surrounded by it. We're surrounded by it, whether it's on social media, on the news, on programs, magazines, papers. You literally cannot escape popular culture. And some people think that they'll simply do what every other person is doing because it's popular. We even have it in Christianity, don't we? All of a sudden, this preacher becomes the big deal, or this person's book becomes the big deal, or this worship team, or this worship band becomes the big deal. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, let's all go crazy for this. Let's build upon this particular ministry, or this particular person, or this particular way of doing things. And as we do that, we start to build on something else. And that's whether that's in our own little Christian world, which does exist, sadly. There is a little Christian world which some people don't understand, apart from people that are on the inside. And there's also that outside as well, that influence of saying, you should be doing this, you should be on this certain social media, you should be making sure you do this, you should be wearing this, you should be driving this, you should be doing that. And building life on something that says, okay, well, culture says it's right, culture says it works, culture agrees with it, so therefore it must be okay. I'm going to build my life on whatever it is that's popular. But what we tend to find is what's popular today isn't popular tomorrow. I was joking earlier, weren't I, about Amazon and saying how I'd ordered a fidget spinner, which never came. Nobody's even bothered about fidget spinners anymore. It's kind of like a few months later, they've got a tip, you've got tips and whatever across the country that are just full of ball bearings. Which, like, you know, it's like all of a sudden there's all this plastic that's gone to waste. Or loom bands. You know, remember loom bands? The kids loved them, making the bracelets with them and stuff. They're kind of like used for tying your hair up now, or just a pack of elastic bands in your house when you need one. They're just not, things don't last. What becomes a popular thing within the world doesn't last. And all of a sudden, if we've built our life on that particular thing, I'm not saying you build your life on a fidget spinner. You might do. You might get so addicted to fidget spinners that you become it takes over. But as we build our life on those things which aren't Jesus, and it's popular, but yet we build our lives on it and we think, okay, well, I'll build my life on that. It's going to change at some point. And when that changes, all of a sudden the foundation changes. And if a foundation moves, it's speaking trouble. And I'm convinced that something moved in on the walls upstairs because one of the upstairs doors wouldn't close anymore. So they're trying to figure out, like, why is this door not closed anymore? What's the problem here? Has the wood expanded? Has the wall moved? What's happened? And, you know, when things move, something changes. I had to sand the door down so it will close again now so you can actually go to the toilet upstairs in privacy, and which is a bonus. But as we look at those things, they always come in and change. But basing your life on popular culture is like building your house on a constantly moving foundation. Because you're constantly getting moved around. You see these people that they're just torn up inside because they can't keep up. Their life is built on popular culture to the point where, like, they've got to have that car. They've got to have the latest iPhone. They've got to be up to date on the latest series of Game of Thrones. They've got to be wearing this particular thing. They've got to have listened to this particular music artist. And it's that whole thing of, like, get off the treadmill of the popular culture foundation that's saying, keep up with this, keep up with this, keep up with this. And all of a sudden you get there and you think, I've arrived. It was the same at school. You know, a certain kind of trainer had been a big popular thing. And you'd bug your parents no end to get these trainers. At our school it was these, like, basketball Converse, not the Converse sneakers, but like proper basketball trainers with, like, gel bubbles in them and stuff. And everybody wanted a pair of Converse trainers. It was like, can I get some Converse? And they were like £60 back then, which doesn't sound like much now, does it? But it was then. It's like, we're not paying £60 for a pair of trainers. So I hassled and hassled and hassled. And I eventually got the Converse trainers. But it didn't take long before it was like, oh, I can't believe you're wearing Converse. They're well out of date. It's like, but I've only just got them. No, it's all into Nike Air Max now. You've got to get a pair of Nike Air Max. If you're wearing Converse, if you've got those Converse, you're a scrubber, mate. Yeah, you know, you're kind of like, you haven't got any money. You know, you're not up to date. You're out of fashion. What's up with you? It's like, literally, I've just got them. But it's like that whole thing of building your life on something, and you feel that elation of, oh, I've got these trainers, or I've got this album, or I've got this car, or I've got this phone. And then all of a sudden, it's like, sorry, mate, that's not very good now. You just get your new iPhone. Apple the next day announced, we've got another iPhone coming out. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh. So I'm now stuck with an iPhone for 24 months on a contract, which is probably going to be about 4 iPhones old by the time my contract ends. And you kind of like, it's constantly this like treadmill of, I'm trying to attain something which I'm never going to attain because it's always changing. We will always attain what Jesus wants us to attain because he doesn't change. When he sets a path on our life and says, do it this way, walk this way, then we always achieve it and we always get there because he doesn't change the goalposts. I love that. The rules don't change because he doesn't change. The rules don't change. We don't all of a sudden start achieving something in the kingdom of God and then all of a sudden God's around and say, ah, sorry, mate, we don't do that in the kingdom anymore. You know, that's not the fashion of the kingdom of God anymore. Yeah, we do it this way now. It's kind of like, you know, it's got to be, it doesn't change. He doesn't change. The kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom which moves forwards, but yet continues to be strong and stable and a rock which can be built upon, which doesn't cause us to feel like we're thrown all over the place. Okay, next one is tradition. We build our foundations on tradition. Whether that's family traditions, work traditions, national traditions. Some people, you know... Some people can't get their heads around the fact that we've gone and had an Indian on Christmas Day for the last 5 years. Because it's not tradition. It's like, you can't go and have an Indian on Christmas Day. You'd have no idea how many people have said that to me. And we're not doing it this year, but, you know, for the last 5 years, we've gone to the Indian and had an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet on Christmas Day. But some people's faces are, like, horrified. What about Christmas dinner? Like, well, it is Christmas dinner. It's no different. You still eat as much as you like. Yeah. Well, what about turkey? There is turkey. It's just a turkey curry. You know, it's like, but people, it's like, but it's tradition. It's tradition. And I remember watching one of these programs that they have on with the, where they've kind of like follow the traveller sites. And it was about a couple of lads that were going to be having this bare knuckle fight with each other. And this, well, the interviewer kind of says, you know, well, what's the point behind all this? It's a bit violent. It seems a bit dated. Why do you feel the need to have to fight each other like that? And the lad just around and says, well, it's tradition. I'm like, seriously? You're going to get your head smashed in for the sake of tradition? Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that. But tradition can be something that we build our lives on, and other people build their lives on it might be how their parents did things. It might be how the particular culture that they live in has done things. And it does make a little sense, because generally something becomes a tradition because it worked. Something works, something's successful, something is really good, but it doesn't stay like that forever. It makes sense because it works, but not every tradition doesn't last. At some point, something changes which says, this just doesn't work now. This is going to have to change now. So for us, when we went to the Indian for the first time, something had to change. We were expecting Elijah. There was just the two of us. It was like, I'm not cooking a Christmas dinner for two people, and you could be going into labour at any point. What are we going to do then? Well, the Indian are doing an £18 all-you-can-eat buffet. Let's go there. Okay, really? Can we really do that? Can we really go and eat Indian on Christmas Day? Yes, we can. We'll just go and have a Christmas dinner somewhere else, like Toby Carvery or something, one of the other days, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper. Which I still do. I still do get people say, do you not miss your Christmas dinner? I was like, no, I still usually have about six Christmas dinners anyway, depending on where we go. But, you know, that tradition wasn't going to work for us that year. The tradition of having a big turkey feast was not going to work for us that year. So something had to change. If we'd have built our lives on it, then, it, you know, in some ways it might have worked out, but it'd been a bit flat, wouldn't it? Just two of us sat there, a pregnant wife, a tired husband, just like one of these things with the party hats on. Like, you know, it wouldn't have quite been the same as making yourself really ill, eating too much chicken tikka masala, which I did on the first year. That was pure gluttony. It was horrible, and greed. Kind of like ticking off the list of deadly sins in one Christmas day. In one sitting. I have repented. And I do try my best not to overeat now, especially at all-you-can-eat buffets. But the tradition thing, it can cause us to get stuck and build our life on something which, yes, it might stay the same, but it won't be stable. It won't be strong. It won't be something which we can constantly return to as Jesus stays strong and stable. In Mark 7:8, Jesus tells the Pharisees, never put tradition before truth. And it's a good reminder to us all to recognize that when something starts to cause us to come away from the truth or not be building our life upon Jesus, something that we can't look at and say, okay, this is in line with the truth of God. If it gets to the point where we're saying, well, we just do it because we do it, or this is how we've always done it as a family, this is what we do, this is how things are, and, you know, thankfully we're not a very traditional family on my side of the family, really. Neither is Sam, so we're quite blessed, really, that it's kind of like, well, it's just whatever, you know, well, which is good, because it means we don't get stuck with something that's everybody, it's like the couch, you know, the old couch you have in the house, which you saved up really hard for the couch, you saved up really hard for this sofa, and it was like, it became a centerpiece, but all of a sudden it becomes so precious to the family, because people have given birth on it, and people have been ill on it, and people have sat and watched the royal wedding on it, and people have sat and it's like, so there's lots of memories tied to that particular couch, but it gets to the point where you recognize that this is a horrible settee. This is a really like 70s style dark brown crushed velvet settee, which looks horrible, which it's got stained, it's got dirty, it started to smell, but nobody touches the couch. Nobody touches the settee. The settee stays. We're going to decorate the whole house. We're going to even move house. But the settee's coming with us. Because the tradition is that settee is, it's our life. You know, and it becomes something that's like, you know what, can we just go to IKEA and get a new one? Or DFS or wherever you go these days to buy a settee. I've never bought a settee, actually. First one was given to us by our parents, and the second one was given to us by Alicia and Lee, which is still going strong, by the way. So, and, you know, people have been ill on it, and we didn't watch the royal wedding on it, actually. We watched the royal wedding in Mallorca, which was quite interesting. Eventually, that settee's got to go, because we can't keep it there. It's eventually got to change, because it becomes more of a hindrance than a help. And in our own lives, when we start to see things that we're building our life upon is more of a hindrance than a help, it's time to recognize and say, you know what, this needs to change. I need to build my life on something strong and stable. I need to build my life on Jesus. Okay, next thing, reason. Building our life on reason. And God gives us the ability to reason, and we need to use it. We need to be able to reason. We need to be able to do that. But our reason isn't infallible. We are going to get wrong sometimes. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Sometimes, I'm not saying that you lead yourself to death, but you know, you get the gist of what it's saying here. The wisdom that's coming forth from the Proverbs here is saying, you know, sometimes there's ways that we think are right. We can reason that it's the right thing to do, but it's not. We can kid ourselves into thinking it's the right thing to do. And the reason that we are like that is that we want to be in control and think we're right. We want to build our foundation on our own principles, on what we think should be done. The reason it's the smartest among us will still falter. Whoever's the smartest person is going to falter at some point. So we can build it on our own wisdom, on our own knowledge, on our own reasoning. But as we do that, it is going to be a point where we get it wrong. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen how we expected it to. We make the wrong call. We do the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, the foundation, again, is back in that place of, oh, this is just not working. I probably need to build, on Jesus. Only God can be trusted at all times. Only God's direction and God's way can be trusted at all times. Only God's reason can be trusted at all times, because that's the only thing that is truly strong. Finally, emotions. Building on emotions. This is a terrible one to build a foundation on, because sometimes it seems great and other times, you know, I know people, I've seen people who build their foundation on their own personal emotions, and it is the most worst roller coaster of a ride of life. You know, life's a roller coaster as it is, but when we're building our foundation on our personal emotions, on our feelings are changing all the time. Our feelings change all the time. It doesn't matter whether we're tired, whether we're full of energy, whether we're not feeling so great, whether we're feeling we could take on the world. If we're allowing something like that to be our foundation, that is not strong and stable. And in some ways, it's probably the worst of all, because that can change in an instant. You can go from being absolutely elated to then having a conversation with somebody and being knocked right back down. And if your foundation is built on that, that is a one heck of a wonky foundation. And feelings lie as well. Our feelings lie to us sometimes. They lie all the time. And we try to convince ourselves of certain things, and we try to convince ourselves that, well, it's okay, it's not a problem, my emotions are fine, I'm in tune, I'm all good, it's all great. But it always catches up with you at some point, doesn't it? We all have a bad day. Even the people that you know that are really positive. And I know some people like that. It's like, how are you so positive all the time? You're smiling all the time. You always seem like you're on top of the world. You know, you're like, you're bopping along. And how are you like that all the time? It's like, oh, I'm not like this all the time. I have some bad days. It's like, I have some bad days. I have bad days all the time. But I don't base my foundation on the good and the bad days, because the good and bad days are going to come. But if my foundation's on something strong and stable, it means I'm strong and stable in the midst of it. Just like those palm trees, that when the storm comes, the palm trees can be pushed right to the ground, but they don't break. Because their foundation, their roots, their design, their style is such that they can weather any storm that comes. Have you ever seen the storms and flat palm trees are like flattened right to the ground? But as soon as the wind stops, it springs back up again. Because its roots and it are strong. And for us, the storms come all the time. And if we're building our emotions, we don't just get put flat to the ground. We stay on the ground. And if you live by your feelings, you'll spend your life manipulated by your moods. You'll just spend a life manipulated by the moods that you're in. You know, if I'm in a bad mood, so I'm going to have a bad day. I'm feeling okay, so I'm going to have an okay day. I don't feel too well, so it's going to be a rubbish day. And all these different things, if we're dictated to by that, we're manipulated by it. And we're not really manipulated by anything or anyone. But when we build on Jesus, who's strong and stable, when we build on that rock, which is Jesus, in the midst of all those changes that come, our emotional changes, popular culture changes, traditional changes, changes of reason, changes of the way of doing things, doesn't matter what changes, Jesus remains the same, and because he remains the same, your foundation remains the same. And although all this around here is changing and it sometimes seems like an absolute chaos, you stood firm in the midst of it. She's saying, well, I don't care what's going on. I'm not moving. I don't care what's going to happen because my foundation is strong and stable and firm. I am like the wise man who's built his house on a rock, and that rock is Jesus. It's not Dwayne Johnson. It's Jesus, okay? The true rock is Jesus. And as we do that and as we stand on that, nothing can shift us. It is an immovable force. The only thing that can cause that to move is us. And by saying, okay, well, I'll just step off this foundation for a bit, kind of like dipping out a little bit, okay? How will I get on if I'm not on the foundation of Jesus in my life? Well, I'm not doing that. That's too scary. You know what? I'll jump 2 feet in and just give it a go. Oh, man, my life's such a mess. Better get back on there. The only person that moves us off of that is ourselves by deciding to say, okay, Jesus, I don't want you as a foundation anymore. I am going to build my foundation on something else. Don't do it. It's really not worth it. It really will not work out, okay? I'm just going to say that right now. It will not work. Take it from me. It will not work. Jesus is the only foundation that is going to be strong and stable through the midst of everything. It just doesn't work to build our life on any of those other things, popular culture, tradition, reason, or emotion. The only thing we can build our life upon is God's word, which is Jesus as well. He is the word of God. The only thing we can build our life upon is the word of God, is Jesus, is his strength. And as we do that, we are strengthened to be able to stand. Jesus says this in Matthew 7:24. I started with this at the beginning. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hears the words, puts it into practice, boom. You've built your house on a rock. How good is that? Sounds really simple, doesn't it? You know why? Because it is. You know, it's not complicated. We don't need to complicate it. We don't need loads of things to understand. You know, I'm reading this great book about doing what God says. Really? Just do it. Do what God says. If God speaks, you do it. You put yourself in a position of wisdom. You put yourself in a position of being strong in him. And if you build your life on the rock that's God's word, it never changes. Popular culture changes and everything else we've looked at changes. Tradition can grow stale. Reason can be faulty and emotions lie, but God's word never changes. Never changes. You might not always understand God's word. You might not always understand what he's saying. You might not always understand what you're reading in his word. You might not always like it. Do you agree on that one? Oh, really? And it won't always be politically correct. See, weekly that changes. Oh, another thing that is now a scriptural principle, which in our world says, oh, we're not going to do that anymore, or that's outdated. See, that's the problem with the world, is they view the scriptures as tradition. And the scriptures aren't tradition. The scriptures are the word of God, which don't change. But people build their lives on those things. But it's the only thing stable enough to build your life on. Everything else is going to change. Everything is going to change. But he remains the same. He's the only truly strong and stable. So every time I see this now and I hear somebody say strong and stable, it just automatically makes me think of Jesus. I don't think of politics. I don't think of the election or Brexit or anything else. It's like strong and stable, Jesus. We're strong and stable, yeah. We're strong and stable in him. My life's strong and stable in him. I'm going to finish with this scripture from Isaiah 33:6. And he will be the security and stability of your times, a treasure of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure. And he will be the security and stability of your times. Jesus is the security and stability for each and every single one of us. In every situation that we face, in every change, he remains the same. Build your life on that, and you're not going to go far wrong. You're going to be strong and stable, not in your own strength and your own stability, but in his strength and stability. So in the midst of change, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, know that if you're building your foundation in Jesus, you're setting yourself up for wisdom and success. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Help us to build on that foundation. Help us to build in such a way that, yeah, we don't build on things that are changing and shifting. but we just see Jesus and build him a life on you. That I will be the wise man that built his house on the rock. I will be the one that recognizes that you are strong and stable in my life. Pray for each and every one of us here today that as we go, we would be able to recognize and be shown by your Spirit the areas in our lives that maybe we are building on that are not of you, that are going to change, that are going to falter and fail, and that we would put something in place to recognize, yeah, I need to change that. I need to be building on this true, strong foundation. In Jesus' name, we pray this in your name, Lord. Help us, strengthen us this week. Amen.